Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Shogger, Edmonton Oilers, a big bounce back game against the Vancouver Canucks last night, and they remain one of only two teams to not have a winless streak more than two games. Them and the New York Islanders, the only ones. So they have found ways consistently this year. Just if people start to think maybe they're sliding into the ditch, boom, they get the steering wheel, grab with two hands, and fight their way to victory and get back in between the lines.
Yeah, it's kind of, I think it's a nice turn in quality for the organization and for Oilers fans who, it's like this roller coaster ride where they're just waiting for the moment where, oh, we were right, it's not going to last. You know, that Oilers fans might be thinking that. But this group seems to have a way to push back in a different way. Push back and find their quality of play. Now, I think what Dave Tippett is striving for, and rightfully so, well, first and foremost, he's striving for a group that can understand at the end of a long road trip when you're tired and beaten down to throw out a bit of a better game than they did, but also bouncing back quicker. So it took them a game. It took them the Vancouver game for them to kind of find their work boots. And I view last night's game as a game where they, you know, the line combination sent a message, find your work boots. And there was that workmanlike attitude on all four of the lines, and it was less about skill and flash and more about finding the work boots, and they did. And so it was a good bounce-back performance, but a hard-work performance where their lineup was depleted, they were banged up, and still found a way to battle back in a game.
Shogger, I like the way you phrase that as far as, you know, making sure they can understand what it's like that last game of their own trip. But I think it's about managing that last game. And you know, you don't need to paint a work of art. All you need to do is just get through the game. And that's where I think as the season evolves, they keep going this way, we'll see a team that just relies on their structure of their play and then let the other team beat themselves. And that's how you kind of sneak a game out at the end of a five-game road trip. Is that something you think that it would be Tippett-like or to become Oilers-like?
I think that's the message that he's trying to send. Like, even in his post-game comments after the Colorado game, you know, he said there's going to be nights where you don't have your A stuff and where you don't have your best stuff and maybe you're a little banged up. And, you know, for years, guys, we've been talking about a base level of expectation as far as, you know, responsibility, effort level. Good teams don't dip too far below that base level of expectation. And if they do, they're able to correct the ship sometimes in game. The good teams can understand when they're having a night like that and correct it in game. You know, other teams, you know, don't put back-to-back performances like that together. But I think, Strudge, that's the message that Tippett is sending. And it's why he doesn't want to allow for excuses. He believes that even in a game where maybe you do have some excuses, doesn't matter, there's a way to play that can mitigate any circumstance and situation you come up against. And he's pushing his players to find that quality. And I think last night is an example of a game where they did. I mean, they were banged up and behind, and they found a way to get there. And I liked his line combinations and what he decided to do, because it was more about north-south hard work, winning battles, just based on the line combinations. And, you know, you had some pretty high-skilled guys playing with guys that are a little more meat and potatoes. And I think the message needed to be for the Oilers to get to where they needed to be after two losses, it was going to be more about the meat and potatoes and less about the skill.
Breaking down the Edmonton Oilers and all the NHL with Ryan Rashog, the TSN Bureau Chief here, joining us right now. Shogger, when you look at the bottom six, and I like how you said the workmanlike kind of attitude out of all four lines, but Patrick Russell, has he warmed your heart the way that he is contributing in his way? Not McDavid's way or Leon's or even Neil's way, but in his way, he's contributing to this team.
Right. Well, I mean, the statistics... You know, statistically, it's been, you know, not ideal for him. But I think last night was a game where, I mean, I think Dave Tippett was sold on Russell early on.
Mm-hmm.
I think we saw that in his use through training camp and through the exhibition season. And he was looking to give this player opportunities to make it work. I think he saw something in him. And I think that he, this year, has done a pretty good job of sticking with this player. And I think last night was a game where... he was rewarded for his belief in this player, because in an important game, he got a really good effort out of him. And the details in his game were great. The battle level was really good. feel awful that the goal came back.
Oh,
like, my goodness. They should almost make a rule that if it's a player's first goal, you're just not allowed to review it. No, nope. It's his first one. He gets it. We're not going to be the mean NHL that does that to players.
I love it.
That poor guy, all the effort he's put in this year, and he's grinding it out. First NHL goal then. Nope. And who knows how long it might be again for him. Hopefully not too long for him.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. I think that you're right. I think that there was a, you know, I don't know, love fest is a bit much, but he liked the way Patrick Russell plays. He did. And I think that he brings something. And last night, to me, he was one of them, the best players to watch on the Oilers line, because he was working so hard and those puck battles. And, you know, I've been saying it before, they need someone to kind of come out of nowhere. Up, not just on the back end, but up front, they can win puck battles and contribute and carry play. Maybe not scoring all the time, but carry play in that way of doing it.
Yeah, I agree. And just in the way that your battle level allows a play to head back in the right direction rather than the wrong direction.
Sure.
You know, little things like that, it's just, I mean, sometimes that's all you want from your fourth line is just get heading in the right direction more often than not, right? Push the play down to that end. You know, try and have some dangerous looks offensively, but don't give up a lot the other way. And, you know, Russell is, look, he hasn't had a lot of real great moments where you see this NHL skill level shining through. He hasn't had a lot of aha, wow-type moments. But, you know, he's averaging just over a minute and change on the penalty kill, on one of the league's best penalty kills, and that's meaningful. You know, he's a player that can play a bigger game, you know, when they need him to, and that's meaningful. And he's earning the trust of his coach. So he's one of those bit parts that, you know, he's a borderline guy, but he earned some trust with his coach, and he's doing his best to make what he can of it.
516 on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. Jason Gregor, Jason Stratuk alongside Ryan Rashog. The BC Lions, we're going to have their GM, Ed Hervey, joining us. Rick Campbell's the head coach, so he's off the list for the Edmonton Eskimos. Is there anybody that you see as an obvious friend? Like Paul Lapalisse's name is out there. You know, there's Dinwiddie, a few others. What do you make of who you think Brock Sunderland's going to lean to?
Yeah, you know, some of the names that have sort of fallen off the list and out of contention and guys that aren't interested and, you know, guys that weren't allowed to talk. It definitely feels like it thinned out a fair amount. I mean, Lapalisse has been around a long time, and he's been in the league and around the league. But it's not doesn't feel like a sexy candidate, does it? And with all due respect to Paul Lapalisse, it's just it's not he wouldn't be the first name that rolls off your tongue in terms of an impact hiring. But he's probably up the list as it exists right now. So you know, Rick Campbell. You know, that deal to BC, I think, was very much in the works. And Brock Sunderland, my guess is, would have understood that when he made the decision with Jason Moss. I would assume he wouldn't have done that, assuming he was going to get Rick Campbell. And so he's going to have to figure something out here. And honestly, the list is not what it was a week ago, considering a few of the guys that have come and gone from it, hey?
Where do you think this leaves Jason Moss?
As OC in BC. Associate head coach and offensive coordinator in BC, making a good living there doing that, and then firmly in contention for any head coaching jobs that come up next year. That would be my guess. I think Ed Hervey is gonna lean towards people he knows and trusts. We've already seen that with his Rick Campbell hire. He's gone outside the box a couple times here, and you know, Ed needs to have some forward momentum here with the organization. And I could really see him going with people that he believes in, but people that he believes he can trust. I think that's big in Ed Hervey's world. And I think, you know, the relationship between Mike Riley and Jason Moss is sound. And I think it just makes too much sense for it not to happen. Now, if somebody wants to throw a head coaching job at Moss, obviously that changes things a little bit, but I'm not sure that's going to happen.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to, well, I guess it depends. You know, maybe Ottawa talks him about the head coaching job. Of course, he was there before, so I think that's the one. But if not, I could easily see Moss and Rick Campbell teaming up. There's Mike Riley's situation there. Like, if you're Rick Campbell and you have a conversation with Mike Riley, who said the best offensive coach he's ever had is Jason Moss, I think there'd be a lot of reasons why you'd want him as your OC. But, you know, we'll see where it goes from there. To the Oilers, Mikko Koskinen. 10-2-2 now. He's sixth in the NHL amongst goalies in save percentage who have played at least 14 games. We know that Mike Smith's banged up. We don't know to what level. But for me, Koskinen starting the next two games for sure, which would mean for the first time this season he starts three in a row. Even if Smith is ready for Friday, I would still go Koskinen. What would you do?
Yeah, and I don't have the schedule right in front of me, so who do they have on the Friday?
They've got Ottawa Wednesday, L.A. Friday, Buffalo Sunday, Carolina Tuesday.
Interesting. Yeah, it depends on whether Smith's ready to go and how significant this injury is. Like, I agree with you, Gregs, and it makes sense, and a goalie should be able to handle three straight starts. That shouldn't be the end of the world. And it wouldn't surprise me to see an uptick in Koskinen starts. But I do know that Dave Tippett really believes that Koskinen's results last year were a direct result of being overworked and way too many starts, way too much, and he just doesn't have a history of being challenged in that way. And that a big reason why we're seeing the real kick up in his overall quality of play is because he's not being overplayed. So you might be right on the scheduling moving forward, but I don't believe we're going to see a scenario where he starts to play three out of every four, or, you know, four out of every six. I think it's going to be more of an even split down the stretch because they believe that's where the quality in Koskinen's play may lie, as tempting as it might be. So it'll be interesting to see. And if Smith can get his game, you know, picked up a little bit back to where it was before, that'll make it easy on Tippett.
Yeah, I just think Koskinen's playing better right now. And if Smith's a little bit banged up, like, I'm not, you run him three or four in a row, Mike. If he can't start three or four in a row at any point, well, then he's not going to be your guy in the playoffs. So at some point, you need a, it's okay to have him go three or four. I agree. I don't need him to suddenly go seven out of 10 or anything crazy. But
yeah, that's a really good point that you make. That's a really good point to you. And what do you guys recall? I'm trying to think back to the teams last year that had the dual goaltending system through the year. Then when they hit the playoffs, if they stuck with that, or if they just, you basically just ride a guy once the playoffs start, suddenly you expect him to play at a pace that he hadn't played all year long, and if you're setting him up for failure that way. Or if teams that had that system did still bounce back and forth a little bit in the playoffs or not. But that's, it's a good point, right? Because you got to get used to that pacing. If all of a sudden you hit the playoffs and you're trying to do something you haven't had to do all year, you might be setting up for some bumpy starts, you know, your third and fourth in a row.
Shogger, well, have a good one. We will chat with you tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good, guys. Have a good night.